we talked about 10. But first, I want to start off with how do you transfer information? So in order to transfer information from Alice to Bob, Bob has to know the physical change which was given by Alice. So on the very first day of our lectures, we were sitting in the park, and David asked us a question. What if he took two envelopes, one with the black sheet of paper and one with the white sheet of paper? He said, okay, one to Alice and one to Bob. They both know that both envelopes, either one envelope was the white one and the other one was the black one. So Alice leaves the galaxy far away and so does Bob the other direction. And now, as soon as Alice opens her envelope and finds it, a black sheet of paper. She knows instantaneously that Bob must have a white sheet of paper. Does that mean that information has traveled past the night? That's the big problem we can.
Yeah. It is the top because the information was really sent when they received the envelopes. So, even though they gave knowledge of the payoff event, the decision was made when the envelope was sent, and that happened long before, so information did not travel past the payoff. Now, I'm going to introduce quantum states, patterns, etc. Okay. So, instead of a number, a quantum state is defined by a vector, which can have two elements like here, or it can have more. But the vectors we dealt with just had two, so they're similar. Now, if you know how to multiply matrices, then how you measure something is you apply an operator to the vector. If what you get is a constant times the vector, then that constant is the value of what you're measuring. So here, this is an operator for measuring spin in the z direction. You apply this to this vector, you get 1 times the vector, so that means as spin in the plus z direction. Okay, so if you apply it to this, this is minus 1 times the vector, so it's spin in the negative z direction. However, with some vectors, you don't get, and you multiply it by the operator, you don't get a constant times the vector. So what you have to do is break it up into like a sub of vectors that do. And when you do that, this is alpha times 1O plus beta times O1. You square the amplitude of the probability. So this is alpha squared getting spin in the z direction, beta squared getting spin in the minus. This here is called a tensor operator. It acts like an and, sort of. So this is saying that the first particle has spin in the plus z direction, the second one has spin in the minus z direction. And it also means that if this happens here, it's possible that it's chosen, then what happens here is sort of independent. Is independent of what happens over here. Like this would say, the first particle, the probability A did not have spin in the plus z direction, B for the minus z direction. The second particle would be C for the plus z direction, B for the minus z. However, there are some states that can't be expressed like that, and those are called entangled states. Entangled states are dependent on each other no matter how far apart they are. So, if it's going to be one, the other depends on it, even if it's like a different galaxy. An example of an entangled state is this. So, you can see the plus sign is like a war, but once this is chosen here, if you get plus z spin for one of them, then one good for the other. And I didn't show the math here, but even if you do it for the plus spins in the x and y direction, if you get a value for one of them, and eventually the other one in the same basis, you have to get the same value. And this leads to weird effects, because as we'll see shortly, you can explain this with numbers and things.
I'm going to show you an example to demonstrate that we have some spooky actions. This is a magic square. If you have three observable two operators, sigma x, sigma y, sigma z, and sigma x somehow switch the state from 1, 0 to 0, 1. And small line in that case. It's 1, 0 and I times 0, 1. And we use these tricks in the operation. There are some tricks like only for the polymorphs. When you multiply same matrices, same operator, you obtain plus 1. Instead, when you multiply sigma x sigma y, you obtain minus sigma y sigma z sigma x. That means that they uncommute. The commutation property is if two observables commute, then you can find the negative state of four. So if A times B is equal to B times A, then you can find the eigenvectors of both A and B. Let's take a quantum system of three vectors, 1, 2, and 3, and let's consider these three observables. It's sigma y tensor, sigma y tensor, sigma x, and we're going to measure the sigma y for the first particle, sigma y for the second particle, sigma x for the third particle. Then you have sigma x for the second and sigma x for the first. These three observables all commute. It's easy to see it that every time you multiply two observables, there are one sigma y times sigma x and one sigma x times sigma y. They both give you a minus sign, so minus sign times minus sign is plus. So all these three observables are commute. Then you can find an eigenstate. This eigenstate is this vector. You can trust me. but you can also do calculations. You start with it. And you can find that applying the B vector, the eigenstate B, these three observables always give you plus B. So it's an eigenstate with eigenvalue plus 1. You can do the same calculation, you always obtain plus 1. Now there is the magic square. You can multiply two observables and you will obtain minus sigma x tensor sigma x tensor sigma x for the first, second, and third part. It's logical that if you multiply the eigenvalue, you will find the eigenvalue of the application of B to this observable. When you measure this four observables, always you obtain plus 1. And so there is somehow a correlation of these three particles, because when you ask these three particles this question, they always answer plus 1. And somehow if you measure the spin up, spin down, plus 1 corresponds somehow to spin up. So let's think for a moment that these particles have a brain. So they have somehow a hidden variables, and when you ask this particle sigma x, the answer x1, x2, or x3. So let's assign y, all y and x values are plus or minus 1, so spin up, spin down. If you do a substitution with the numbers, you will obtain this square. So you will obtain x1 times x2 times x3 equal to 1. Instead, when you measure sigma x and tensor sigma x, tensor sigma x in three particles, you obtain minus 1. So if you think that in these three particles there are somehow some hidden variables, before in a mathematical consultation, have plus 1, instead of have minus 1. So there is no hidden variables, but there is, however, some correlation between these three particles, these three entangled particles. So the conclusion is that when you measure a system, you make you disturb the system, and when you measure, you create a busy system. You create your measure. This is the paper. Is the moon there when body looks? Observations not only disturb what has to be measured, they produce it. We ourselves produce the results of our measure.
So the values in the magic square there can all have simultaneous values, so they don't all exist before the experiment, unlike the paper and the envelope that existed before you measured it, but the value only exists when you measure it. So you could think that you could send a signal faster than the speed of light, and how that would work is when you measure on the z-axis, it disturbs the x-axis so that you'll get a 50-50 chance that it'll be plus 1 or minus 1. So Alice here could measure in the z as one signal or in the x as the other signal, and Bob would either have would always get the same value if he measured in the same axis as Alice. So Alice measures in z and Bob measures in z, and Bob will always have the same messages or the same value as Alice, but Alice's number is random too. So Bob could also measure in the x and he would get a random value, but it wouldn't have any correlation to Alice's. So depending on what Bob measures, you'll either get one definite value or you'll get a 50-50 chance, but he can't tell the difference with one particle. So all he needs to do is just copy the particle a whole bunch of times, measure each copy, and if they all give the same value, he measured it on the same axis as Alice, and that would signify some predetermined message. And if he measures on the other axis, he would get always a 50-50 chance of plus 1 or minus 1. But unfortunately, there's a no cloning theorem, which is due to the linearity of quantum mechanics. Basically, if you put A in a cloner, you get A and A. But if you put A plus B in a cloner, you get AA and EB. So you get this weird state, which isn't what you want, because you really want A plus B and A plus B. So it's impossible to send the information faster than the speed of light. And I guess that's it.
It's on the desktop.